Hey, family, this is your girl, Tamika Patton, and we are back with you once again for another episode of Time, Talent, and Treasure. Listen, we are still celebrating here. You know it's that month. It's the best month. It's Women's History Month, and we are still celebrating women of power, come on, of passion, of influence, and leadership. They are doing some amazing things, and it is our job to bring light to it and share it with you so that we can educate and empower you. So this week is no different. Let me tell you, the guest that we have for you today, I am so honored, and I know that you're going to be blessed because we only bring you the best of the best. And when I tell you that she is the best of the best and that you are being blessed today because you're getting for free what others have paid for, honey, listen, go get your snacks, go get your water, because it's going to be one of those sessions, all right? And before I bring her to you, you know that it is our tradition to start off the show honoring our Father absolutely with our worship moment. And this week, I am so excited to allow her, our guest, the Honorable Dr. Patrice E. Turner, to bring you our worship moment. Stay tuned.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but my God is, God is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away all my sins, and he'll say, Patrice, you can't come on in. Oh yes, my Jesus loves me. Oh yeah, yes, he loves me. Oh yeah. the Bible for my living, yes. Every day God tells me he loves me. God's always beside me, walking right by me every step of the way, through the pandemic, through heartache, through pain, through disease. Yes, God loves me. Yes.
Did I lie to you? I know you did. I know you did. She plays and sings. Come on. Alicia Keys who? Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If you were blessed by that, hold on to your seats. Buckle in. The ride is about to begin. Because I am telling you, to have the opportunity to speak with someone who has traveled the world sharing the universal message. You know, music, they say music is the voice of God. It's universal. And whether someone can understand what you're saying or not, they can absolutely feel what you're delivering. And this woman has been blessed in so many genres. We are just not talking, oh, she's just not a gospel singer and composer and clinician and educator. No, she brings us jazz, classical, and I mean brings the classical, honey. Oh, yes. Trains soprano, not soprano. That's the number two choir on Sunday. She's a soprano. So today you're going to be blessed. Put your hands together and welcome my sister and my friend, the Dr. Patrice E. Turner, who is only the minister of music at the premier church on the planet, the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Dr. Turner.
Hello, Tamika. How are you? It's so good to be here on your show today. And this, you are living it, girl. This is your element. You're so fun. I just love it.
Thank you.
So honored to be here with you today.
Thank you. The honor is all ours. Listen, I am going to hush and be a church mouse today and sit at your feet and glean. I'm going to be Ruth today. And I'm going to get all these nuggets that I know that you're going to drop from my viewers. Our show basically embraces all things creative. We speak to, you know, the total person, body, mind, spirit, anything that sparkles, encourages, empowers, dance, theater, music, arts, all of that wonderful positivity is what I like to share and to highlight. And so it is our honor to highlight someone that's doing it well. Please tell our viewers, who is Dr. Patrice E. Turner?
Wow, I don't know who she is. I'm still learning who she is. You know, church girl, grew up. I'm a pastor's daughter, originally from Columbus, Ohio. My father was a pastor of the Friendship Missionary Baptist Church on the west side of Columbus, Ohio. My mother was an educator she's now a retired educator in the Columbus City School System. Grew up in Columbus, lived in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, which is a suburb on the east side of Columbus, Ohio. Graduated from The Ohio State University, moved to New York City in 2004 to pursue the Doctor of Education in Music and Music Education at Teachers College, Columbia University. Picked up several degrees at Ohio State, picked up a couple of degrees at TC.
I'm tired.
I mean, it's a lot. I'm skipping a whole lot. But, you know, I've traveled, as you shared, I've traveled all over the world. I've been honored to minister and perform in multiple countries all over the world, in Africa and Europe, in South America and in North America. I've traveled to many, many states in the United States. I'm just ministering. God has opened so many doors for me in all styles of music, primarily in gospel music, but I performed it in everything. You know, just it's just been great. I performed at some of the greatest performance spaces, the world famous Apollo in Harlem, which actually my apartment is literally about 300 to 500 steps from the Apollo. So whenever I performed there, I would tell them, I don't need a green room. You can use that for somebody else because my apartment is right up the street. So my apartment would be the green room. I get my face beat. You know how you do. You get your face beat. I would have Sylvia's brought over for everybody. They would come to the house. We would eat. And then we would get ready to go and hit the stage. So I've performed at Carnegie Hall, all of the performance spaces at Jazz Lincoln Center. I used to teach at Jazz Lincoln Center. There's so much. It's all over the place. There's a lot.
Okay, so that's the interview, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and good night. Because my goodness. Okay, so let's go back for one second. All right.
Sure.
So first of all, who transposes a hymn at 5? I just want to know.
Somebody who wanted to play with her friend who was playing on the trumpet and had to like do it. I started composing music at 4. I started playing the piano at 3. And it was either for Resurrection Sunday when I was 5 or something we were doing at the church. And my friend Jeremy played the trumpet. He was a little older and he was cute. You know, he's a nice looking young man.
Okay.
And
so you had to show Jeremy what you were working with.
Yeah, like he was like, well, I want to play this song on the trumpet. And he started playing in one key. And I'm sight reading. You know, at 5 years old, I can sight read hymns and stuff. Like, I can sight read. So I was like, this isn't right. I'm playing in one key. Are you sure we're playing in the same key? But at that age, I hadn't learned that instruments transposed and that they played it, in different keys. And so he said, well, yeah, I'm playing it in this key. And I said, okay. So then my little ears were kind of listening. I said, okay, if he's playing in that key, I have to play this song in this key. So I said, give me a minute. And then I just kind of went through, worked it out, and then played. I was like, okay, I got it. Let's go. And that's what we did. Yeah, it was crazy.
5 is all. Just 5.
Just five. You know.
When most kids are just like, can I have ice cream? She's transposing hymns.
Well, but funny you said ice cream, though, because my parents had to use ice cream to persuade me to act right to practice. Because I didn't want to practice. And I didn't want to, I would love to go to the piano lessons and stuff, but I didn't want to practice at home. And my mother found out two things. One, she said, if I bribe her with ice cream, she'll act right. And then two, she was like, my daughter's not being challenged. The music was too easy for me. And so I didn't want to practice it because I was like, why would I waste my time on that when I already know what I'm doing? Like, give me something. And then when they gave me something harder, I was good to go. I was hooked.
Ice cream is the gift that keeps on giving.
Always.
I'll tell you.
I'll probably have some tonight. Yep.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. Well, like I said, the show's only 30 minutes. I'm so floored. You have named so many things on my dream list. And I know that we were in ministry. So I have to interject my little commercial here. We had the pleasure of meeting. A lot of my inner circle knows that Ebenezer Baptist Church has been on my dream list. I have a list of things that I really would love for the Lord to do for me before I leave here. Mm-hmm. And one of them was living in Atlanta. I'm here. Good. The second, another thing on that list is actually singing at the Ebenezer Baptist Church. I came to Atlanta at 16 on a choir tour with my high school, and we've been in a love affair ever since. I felt a drawing ever since. And so to have the opportunity to share my ministry in a city and at a place that was on a list before I even got here, everything that you are saying, and we are only about 6 minutes in, is giving me life. You have named Carnegie Hall, which is on my list. Yes. You have named the Apollo Theater, which is on my list. And so, again, I reiterate to you all when I said last week, dreams do not have expiration dates.
Sorry.
My ministry aired Sunday, March the 14th.
That's right.
I was the guest psalmist at the Ebenezer Baptist Church.
That's right. Atlanta.
It's on the list.
That's right.
I can check it off.
And everybody was like, oh my gosh, who is this woman singing? And who's Tamika? Sing, Tamika. Sing, Minister Tamika. I don't know who she is, but she is singing down. I was like, y'all are so funny.
Amen. Church Amen. Church.
They were really blessed by your ministry. So I can't wait for people to see the song that we did together. It's going to happen.
Oh, listen.
It's going to air. It's going to air. But yeah, I was like, I can't show it next week though. We gotta space it out a little bit. But
oh, yeah. I was honored. And let me just tell you guys, don't despise the process. Don't despise the process. Who would have ever known that I would have met someone of your caliber? And when I say she was gracious, and this is just a teeny part of the resume. People with resumes like this aren't gracious. They're not kind most of the time, and they're self-absorbed. Yeah. And so I must, and you have every right to be, because you are that chick. You're that person. You're doing it. You know, and when I say that she is humble, gracious, knowledgeable, knows her stuff, runs a tight ship, and I could appreciate it because we got the job done. And God was still glorified, but we got the job done in order.
Amen.
And you exuded excellence from the gate. So I just wanted to thank you publicly. I know that I thanked you privately, but I wanted to thank you publicly because the opportunity to actually minister with you was an added bonus.
Oh, praise God.
Oh yeah, that was an added bonus. And yeah, it was
fun.
Oh yeah, totally fun. So we have to then touch on, okay, so you've toured nationally and internationally. We've talked about some of the major places here in the States. Can you give us a little insight? Because I saw a clip of you or a photo of you directing like 8,000 people somewhere over the border.
That was in Stockholm in Sweden. I've been blessed to be to Sweden three times as a guest artist, guest gospel artist from the United States. My love affair with Sweden started around 2016, 2017. They had a group that came over to when I was based in New York City. It had to be 2015 or 2016. And they came over. They had been emailing me. And at the church where I was, at the First Corinthian Baptist Church in Harlem, New York, hey, FCBC, love that church too. When I was there, we would always get a lot of every week, every church in Harlem, especially Black churches, will get an influx of pre-pandemic, of course, we get an influx of people who want to see the gospel. That's what they call gospel music in Europe. So they want to see gospel music. And so they would come to FCBC. I would get emails. People want to come and bring their choirs. Long story short, group wanted to come over from Sweden. I said, oh, yes, by all means, you know, let's Made the connection. We had a great time. They could sing down. These Swedish folks could sing gospel. I was like, what in the world? The man who played Magnus Spangberg was playing the piano. I was like, oh my God, can he just like stay here and play with our band? Like, he's amazing. And before I knew it, they were inviting me to come back. That happened to be 2014, actually. It was 2014 because it was the year my dad died. And they invited me to come in like August of 2014. My dad at that point, right around that time, had gotten really ill, and he said, by all means, you're going to Sweden. And he was like, you're gonna go, and all of this. He got ill maybe September, and they had invited me in August, I think. And so as God would have, my dad passed away on October the 8th, 2014. They thought I wasn't coming. I said, no, we're still coming, but my mother's gonna come with me if that's okay. And next thing I knew, I landed on January the 30th, I think, of 2015. And I was conducting like 1200 people at Smetana Hall, which at that time had seen Mahalia Jackson on its stage. I think Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had received his Nobel Peace Prize on that stage. If not, he had spoken there. And it was amazing. And when I landed the night before I went to Sweden, I had absolutely no voice. I had lost my voice. I had caught laryngitis some kind of way. Might have been acid reflux, I think, upon retrospect. But whatever happened, I had no voice the entire trip. And I was to do four major concerts. I had to play. I had to sing. I had to conduct. I was supposed to do some interviews. I was going to be on the radio. And I had absolutely positively no. When I say no voice, I had no voice. But this is how God works. I believe in speaking things into life. Speaking things that are not as though they are. And as God would have it, I had already shared with God that I wanted to minister more internationally. And so God was opening those doors. As God would have it, my voice and some prednisone
worked. Come on, prednisone.
God was like, you know what? You know, everything that I needed to sing, I was able to sing the way I wanted to sing it. I had enough voice to make it through the song. After that, my voice was gone again, and I couldn't do a whole lot of talking. But as the tour progressed, I was there for maybe a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And As the tour progressed, my voice got stronger and stronger. And by the end of the concert tour, which was when I was doing the most singing or supposed to do the most singing, my voice was fine for the most part. I mean, I still was critical of myself, of course, but that keeps me honest, keeps me grounded. But God, you know, God just allowed my voice to do what it needed to do. And my fingers did the rest. You know, whenever I couldn't sing, I just played. I was like, okay, I'll just sit here and play something. You know, so
I prefer to play.
I love to play anyway, so I would play the piano in a heartbeat. Don't ask me to sing all the time because I'm like, I don't want to sing. But to play, oh yeah, I'll play. So yeah, so that was my love affair with Sweden. That's like a second home to me in many ways.
Beautiful.
That allowed me to go back in 2018. I went back twice, went back to a couple of the same spaces. So Smetana Hall, all of that to say, the concert Huset, which is what it's called in Stockholm, that's one of the places. Smetana Hall is another place in Prague, the Czech Republic, where I've ministered. I've ministered all over Italy in different cathedrals and also performance spaces. It's just been crazy. South Africa and Zimbabwe, I spent a month over there. School, yeah, in 99. I was about 21 years old. And we went over there on a study abroad tour. So, I mean, Greece, Mexico, Brazil, Chile, Canada. I know I'm missing something, but yeah. So, and there's more. Like, I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Australia. I want to go all over Europe, Paris. I haven't been to France yet. I've been to England. Yeah. So it's just, yeah, everywhere. I could talk about international travel and ministry all day long.
Amazing. I you are giving me so much life right now. You have no idea.
Yeah. Touring with Earl behind him and all of that. So yes, let's go. I think if the three of us got together and did a tour, it'd be crazy. It'd be crazy.
Okay.
It'd
be crazy. You put it in the atmosphere. Let's do it.
Put it out there.
Let's do it, because Earl has been talking about, yes, I was blessed to tour with him, tour Italy and Europe with him, and that was on my list.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my dream was to stand on a hill and sing "The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music." Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go to Italy. So I got to go to Switzerland and I got to go to Italy on the same trip. That's an awesome guy to answer two of your prayer requests on the same trip. Double for my trouble. Come on. Okay.
Amen.
Can't get started. We only got 30 minutes. Okay, come on.
Yes.
All right. So if you put it in the atmosphere, we're going to make it happen. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear a tour
coming to you,
Mr. International, the Earl Bynums, the Dr. Patrice E. Turner, and the yet to be the Tamika Patrick? Come on, somebody. Look, I know two people and they know everybody else, but I know Jesus and he knows everybody. So that connects us all. Okay, so I just want to make sure they get the weight of who is sitting on our screen today, because you kind of glazed over it, that you worked at Jazz at Lincoln Center. So tell us just a little bit about WeBop. What is WeBop about?
Wow, so WeBop is an early childhood jazz education program where children that are 8 months old to 5 years old come with their families, their caregivers, could be their grandparents, it could be their parents, could be a nanny, but they come, or with an aunt or uncle, they come to a 45-minute early childhood jazz education class. And I was not only a teacher of it, I also was a musician, composer for it, helped to develop the curriculum, worked there for 14 years. While I was in New York City, I pretty much started working there shortly after I moved there, and had the opportunity to be on Sesame Street because of the program. I was actually featured on one of the episodes of Sesame Street in 2008. I performed with Wynton Marsalis. I did four concerts with Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra, which was on my bucket list. So that was a blessing. I have a great picture of Wynton and me on stage. And he's looking at me to the side, like, and I was like, let's have fun.
That's
so
the only way you can look.
I mean, you know, how do you, and so working at Jazz Lincoln Center, though, I was also a clinician, so I did some lectures talking about gospel music and the overlap between gospel, blues, and jazz, taught about how to teach children jazz in the classroom, especially with this young age group, with early childhood, performed with John Coltrane's bassist Reggie Workman with the Africa Brass. We did a reproduction of Africa Brass. That was the same year that I performed with Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis. So Webop is it's a program that has been able to transition during the pandemic. So now they're teaching classes online. And when I was there, I also did concerts and curated concerts for the families. So the families would come in. We would typically do those on a Saturday or Sunday. Families would come in. My shows would always be sold out. Like, you had to get your ticket early. As soon as it was released, you had to get your ticket early. My shows were always sold out. We had a lot of fun. We would sing everything from Somewhere Over the Rainbow to Goody Goody. Sometimes I would feature, I always had a theme. So one theme might be Ella and her fellas. So Ella Fitzgerald and all of the men with whom she collaborated. I would do a concert that would feature the music of a lot of jazz female artists. So I would do all of that. Sometimes I would do some things, especially in class, where I love to write, compose songs specifically for that class. So we would maybe write our own blues songs, or we would take My Favorite Things, that song, and spin it. And people would say, well, I love Macaroni and Cheese, and I love, SpongeBob, and this and this and this. And I would put it all together and make it rhyme. And then we would sing our new verses. So, Webop, you never knew what was going to happen, but it was really based on the jazz aesthetic, the African aesthetic, the African-American aesthetic of improvisation, call and response, the blues, swing, riff, all of those kinds of topics. And so the children not only learned, they learned social skills, they learned musical skills, they learned about music, but the families and the grown-ups came away learning a lot as well. And so that was one of the things that I loved about those classes that I missed during the pandemic, that I miss being in Atlanta now, is that I can't be back in New York as often. But you know what? I'm going to put it in the atmosphere. Webop South, Jazz Lincoln Center South is going to come to Atlanta. Yes. And they're going to call me to do it. And, I'm just excited because it was an opportunity to really sew back into and the fact that I am a licensed educator, licensed music educator in Ohio, but it gave me an opportunity to be in New York and to still hone my teaching skills, but teach a different age group, and to share my passion for music, share my love of jazz with young people. And they were the most culturally diverse classes I've ever taught.
Listen, if you are just joining us, ma'am and sir, for this installment of Time, Talent, and Treasure with your girl, Samika Patton. Our special guest today is Dr. Patrice E. Turner. She is currently the Director of Music and Arts at the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And she has taken us on a trip around the world. Okay? So you're going to have to watch the replay and share. You know what we do here at Team Samika. It's all about inspiring, encouraging, and empowering. So we are going to continue our chat with Dr. Turner, and we are going to talk about another one of her amazing outlets where she is sharing her gift as the Associate Music Director of the Broadway Inspirational Voices. Tell us about that.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy. Broadway Inspirational Voices is a group of Broadway and off-Broadway singers, actors, performers, musicians that come together out of their love for God, out of their love for one another, and out of their love for community service, social justice, to really come together. We do concerts, performances all over New York City. We have some amazing alumni and familiar faces, Billy Porter, Angela Robinson, that you know from Tyler Perry's The Haves and the Have Nots. There are others. What is the young lady's name? Renee, is that her name? She was in Hamilton. I forgot her name, and she was on one of the soap operas. And this is terrible because I know the girl like that. But anyway, so there are a lot of people who are part of Broadway Inspirational Voices. The founder is Michael McElroy. And I actually didn't meet him until I moved to New York, and he had started going to FCBC. But I've known his mother since I was about 8 or 10 years old. She's a sister, Sister Marcella Kathy, is a wonderful gospel musician in the church in Cleveland, Ohio. And I grew up watching her in our state convention, in the Ohio Baptist General Convention. When I got to New York and was at First Corinthian Baptist Church as the artist in residence there, we started having three services, 7:30, 9:30, and 11:30. And the Broadway service, I used to refer to it as the Broadway service. The Broadway service was at 9:30. I call it that because the majority of those performers who performed on Broadway would come to that service. If they came to FCBC, they came to the 9:30 service. 7:30 was a little too early, but 9:30 they could get in and out, and then they would go straight to do a two-a-day. So on Sundays, they would do two shows on that day, and that would end their week, and then they'd be off on Monday. Michael heard me sing. He said, I need you in my choir. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, I'm not singing with anybody. Come to find out, once we started talking, he said, well, I used to live in Cleveland, and my mother is Sister Marcella Caffey. I was like, no, she's not. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So we connected right away. And his sisters, not sister in blood, but sister in love, Minister Avis Graves. I had grown up watching her in Cleveland. So there was just this whole family connection. And I became a part of the Broadway Inspirational Voices, which, as you have goals, that's been one of my goals, was to sing on Broadway. I've sung in some Broadway houses, and I'm still looking for that Broadway breakthrough role. So if anybody out there, write a role for me. Here's your girl. Yes. I can put you on my YouTube channel. You can just check out all the stuff that I do. Shameless plug. But I started working with him, and then he had been going and going for about 25 years straight with no sabbatical. He's a professor at NYU in musical theater. He's a performer himself, has been on Broadway, singer, and all of this. And he had been going all of the time with Broadway Inspirational Voices. Well, the time had come for him to really take a step back for about 6 months to a year. And so he presented me with the idea of stepping up and serving that year. And it just so happened that my position at FCBC ended right when this was starting, or something like that. It was like an overlap.
Don't you love how God does that?
And that's how God, and I literally walked out of my position at FCBC and walked into a job that same day, was picking up some other stuff. I did my New York debut concert that same month at the Metropolitan Room in November of 2016. Then right after that, I did the concert for BIV that weekend. We did a video, November the 6th and 7th, we did our fall winter holiday concert. And then that particular video from that of me singing For Every Mountain did well, got like a few thousand views. And then somebody sent it to Kirk Carr. Kirk Carr saw it. He sent it to somebody. He shared it on one of his social media platforms, and it went viral. I didn't even know it had gone viral. And then people started blowing up my phone. They're like, Patrice, you've gone viral. I was like, what are you talking about? Patrice, you've gone viral with For Every Mountain with Broadway Inspirational Voices. Kurt shared it on his page. And I was like, what? And so I had just met Kirk Carr like the week or two before, maybe like a month before he shared it or something like that. He had been at Ebenezer. He sang, and then we met and we clicked. So I can text him if I need something or if I just want to talk to him for a second. He's like always there.
He's the coolest.
He is so cool. And so that went viral. So now it has over 4 million views based upon all the different iterations of the video. Yeah. And that happened within like a year. So Broadway Inspirational Voices has just been an important part of my life. It gave me an opportunity to really sit under a fabulous director and be a singer again. So that sharpened my skills as a director and as a conductor. In terms of stylizing, I learned how to articulate it better for our singers. Although the singers with Broadway Inspirational Voices are professional, I work with a lot of volunteer amateur singers, but I was still able to take my pedagogy and the way that I teach, mix that with what he would do, and try to get our singers, particularly our older singers, to be able to produce a healthy gospel sound in the way that they're accustomed to doing it with a head voice and all of that good stuff, but how to give us that gospel sound that we needed. And so I was able to really bridge the gap. That's what we were working on and doing pre-pandemic. And then we've just kind of transferred that over to what we're doing now online. So BIV, Broadway Inspirational Voices, is an amazing choir. If you've never heard them, we have several projects out. You need to go get them. There are a lot of holiday projects. Michael McElroy is amazing. Joseph Joubert is the main accompanist. The band is killing with Michael O. Mitchell. I mean, Sheldon Becton. I mean, I could name all the names and all of that. It's just a wonderful opportunity. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So BIV. Oh, so I'm looking for my BIV, my Broadway debut, hopefully. And then I also did Sweethearts of Swing, which is an amazing musical. I was able to be a part of that. They're working on the script, and it's based on those the all-female jazz bands that were popular in the 1920s and 30s when the when the men went off to war, the women kind of picked up the slack with the slack with the swing bands. So I played the pianist and kind of the mother, one of the mothers of the group. So yes, so I'm looking for that to do what it does. Bounce the Basketball Opera is another performance showcase that I've done. It's not a showcase, it's actual, it's an actual opera slash musical slash play. And I have a big role in that's at the end. So yeah, so performing, yeah, all of that in New York, and I go back, well, not during the pandemic, but whenever I get an opportunity to perform in New York, I go back and perform at Jazz Lincoln Center or Subculture or some of the other spots. Yeah, it's crazy.
Listen,
it's crazy.
But when you do go back to New York, your suitcase is going to be a little heavier because I'm going to be in it.
That's fine. It's going
to be a little heavier.
Let's have fun. Let's go. Let's go.
Listen, you wouldn't even know I was there. I would just melt into the wall. Just experience all of that amazing creativity. I went to Creative and Performing Arts High School in Philadelphia. So like, that was like fame. That was fame. And those 4 years were the best. I mean, to be in a building where everybody kind of thinks like you, because everybody loves their discipline and their art form, and they're serious about it, and they're passionate about it. And you have all this creativity buzzing around, the energy, life changing. So to have the opportunity to just be a fly on the wall, I'd love it. I'd love it. Okay, so listen. Okay, we gotta move along. We can be here all day.
I know. It's great.
While we're talking about history, we've been talking about history through the whole show, and while we're talking about the importance of honoring our legacy and creativity and celebrating these women who are in these positions that are bringing all this passion to the forefront about things that, you know, I guess people have either heard about them so much that they just let them fall to the wayside, or the generations aren't feeding the next generation so that they have learned to honor and respect those things that we hold sacred. So in comes entrance from stage right, the Black Church series, which was featured on PBS. Okay, right. So just, I don't know, everybody in the world was watching it. All the people that had questions that they never knew how to ask, that they wanted to know about the Black Church. Everybody, you know, it's on front and center now with everything socially that's going on in the world. So they're still trying to figure us out and understand. And so God said, let me help you. And he put the series together, thanks to Dr. Henry Louis Gates Jr., to educate those with so many questions. And guess who was one of the featured presenters? I said, they're
crazy.
Not ready. They're not ready.
So crazy.
Our very own Dr. Patrice E. Turner, one of the featured presenters. That's all. 4 million views, viral. That's all. Broadway. Yeah. Toured internationally. Okay.
Right.
The Black Church series on PBS was like one of the most watched. Roots
was
the Black Church series.
Yeah.
And you were asked to give a performance. You performed, you played, and you spoke as well. Give us a little insight on that.
Right. Well, funny. It's crazy. I wouldn't have that opportunity. I would not have had that opportunity had it not been for the Reverend Dr. Raphael G. Warnock. So I have to give him a shout out. And we'll talk about him a little later. But, you know, I was sitting on my couch right out there on a Sunday afternoon after church. I think we'd had two services. I probably grabbed some food with some friends, came home. And around 7 o'clock is when Finding Your Roots, which is Dr. Henry Louis Gates Jr.'s, one of his landmark shows, comes on here multiple times, but I was watching it that day. And I said, ooh, I would just love for one day for him to do my genealogy, do my family's genealogy, and give us one of those beautiful Black books with all the DNA and all the countries and all of that. I just put that in the atmosphere. And lo and behold, within like 2 days, Pastor Warnock was calling me on my phone. He was like, hey doc, so listen, they're interviewing me for this Black Church documentary. I don't know what they're talking about, but they're interviewing me and they needed somebody else who knew about music to be interviewed. Pastor Shirley Caesar has a funeral. She can't do it. She's not going to be able to be in town. I told them to call you because you're who you are and you have a doctorate and your doctor's in gospel music, all this kind of stuff. He was like, and you're at Ebenezer. You know, so Dr. Henry Louis Gates is going to be interviewing you in like a day or two. So get ready. And I was like, wait a minute. I just said 2 days ago that I wanted him to do my I just said that. I was talking to myself, like myself, you know, and God, like God and I were having a moment. But yeah, I had just literally let it fly out of my mouth. And then my pastor was calling me 2 days, like within the next 2 days, telling me, yeah, you're gonna be interviewed by him. And so yeah, so
I hope y'all catching this. I hope you guys are catching it. This is a deluxe version of the show. Sorry, we're over time. Listen, I hope you guys are catching this. Did you hear what she just said? She opened her mouth and spoke it.
Yeah. Same thing happened with the Apollo. Like I said, I literally live right behind the Apollo over to the side. And I would walk by the Apollo. And every time I would walk by the Apollo, God would say, speak it. And I would say, I'm going to perform there one day. I'm going to perform there one day. And within a little while, not only did I have one performance there, I was the featured artist for the 125th anniversary of Teachers College, Columbia University, my alma mater. They called me back. I was the only person who was asked to perform unanimously by the whole board, performed in front of Tony Bennett. By the time I had that gig, I don't like to call it a gig, but that particular performance opportunity, Inc., I was getting called to come back to the Apollo again, weekend of January the 30th, 2013, 2014, to perform there and to minister there with the mass choir of the First Corinthian Baptist Church. So that weekend for me, like January the 30th, January 31st, those are big weekends. I was in Sweden performing several times. Awesome. I was at the Apollo. Yeah, I mean, so that weekend, but then just speaking it, performing at the Apollo, performing at Carnegie Hall, going all over the world. And then the Black Church with Dr. Gates. And I'm literally like getting my face beat. She's putting on the eyelashes and she's fixing, making sure my hair is straight, making sure my makeup is fine. And I'm being interviewed by this man like a couple days later. And we did an interview. Of course, all of the things that I spoke about were not in the documentary. They were on the cutting room floor. But there was so much. There was so much that was really recorded, not just for my interview, but for everything else. That there could be four or five different documentaries that come out of it. But I did that, and then he has asked me to sing and to play. So we had a good time singing and playing, talking about music, talking about my role at Ebenezer, which I'm the first female director of worship in the arts in the history of the Ebenezer Baptist Church, and that was in 2018. So within its over 130 year history, I was the first woman to officially hold that type of a position. But I stand on the shoulders of Alberta Christine Williams King, who many don't know her by name, but that's Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s mother. She ran the music ministry for years, not in the title of Minister of Music, but you know how pastors' wives are. Your husband's the pastor, and then you're going to take over the choir.
And that's what she did.
Yeah, and she had the children, and they were doing what they did, and she did what she did. Mrs. Cynthia Terry was one of the music administrators. So there were women in leadership in the arts and in music prior to my being at Ebenezer. So I never want to negate their contributions or the contributions of Dr. Uzi Brown, Dr. David Morrow, Dr. Wendell P. Whalum, and there were so many others, Dr. Kay Pace, Ms. Lydia Ragland Williams, who now serves as my assistant. She was part of the youth choir. She was the youth choir director for a while. Now she's back. I mean, it's just, there are a lot of people there. And I'm just grateful to have such a great team at Ebenezer. So that allowed me, having a great team allowed me to be able to do this interview for the Black Church. And I'm going to plug the book. Here's the book.
Yes, please do.
The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song by Dr. Henry Louis Gates Jr. And he also signed it for me. So.
Now that's available like Amazon.
Right. So you can see the Black Church. You can see the documentary on YouTube, on PBS, on Amazon Prime. The video of the book is also available on Amazon Prime. There is another documentary called Amen, the Music of the Black Church that my mentor is in, Dr. Raymond A. Wise. You can see that on, I think it's WTIU, which is the PBS station out of Indiana University. So that's about, focuses on the music. But yeah, so there, I'm hoping that there will be more coming out of this, because I think this was the highest watched PBS series ever.
Yeah, listen.
And for me to be the only person to really kind of minister and to demonstrate Black gospel music and spirituals in this show. I mean, John Legend sang a little bit, you know, you had Yolanda Adams, you had Pastor Shirley Caesar. So to be in the same documentary with all of these people that I've grown up watching and loving, you know, it's just icing on the cake. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, just great.
I need water. I need air and I need water. This is like, this is crazy. Amazing. You have no idea. I have chills. Crazy. This is just, okay, I'm just in my space right now. Y'all forgive me. Tears can't even.
It's monumental. I did not realize the impact of this. I had to keep it quiet for over a year, just like when I was on Sesame Street. I couldn't talk about it for over a year until we had the actual dates and I was given the opportunity to do so. Well, just like the viral video with Kirk Carr and B.I.V., people were saying, Patrice, you're in this video for this Black Church documentary. Like, I can't wait to see it. I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you know about it before I do? And it was on Facebook. That went viral. That has like over 100,000 views with that extended trailer. And, you know, I didn't realize how much of an impact it was going to have until I said, well, you know what? They had watch parties. Like, they got online with their families and they sat around and watched a 4-hour documentary over two nights. And by the time it went through, I had over 150 text messages on my phone alone. So many things on my IG, on my Facebook, on my Twitter. Like, people just saying, Patrice, this is just amazing. So I'm grateful for open doors and for speaking it and not holding back my tongue on the positive stuff.
Listen, you guys, I am so elated to hear someone speak my heart that doesn't even know my heart. You don't even know me in that way. Right. And you, I mean, this is a new sistership. This is new. And you have literally sat here today and spoken from pages in my book. This is surreal for me. Now, I know my girls, my sisters that are watching this are like freaking out right now. The eyelashes are off and they're probably crying the way I want to cry right now. And I'll fill you in later on how you are just impacting my life right now. Jesus.
Praise God.
Let the unprofessional tears fall. I'm really trying to keep it together because when I tell you about dreams from a child, when I tell you about things that God has shared with me that I know that I'm going to do before I leave here, I just don't see how. Mm-hmm. But I know taking this leap of faith, and I know meeting you, he doesn't do things in my life. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know in my life, nothing is ordinary and by chance. Everything is divinely, strategically ordained. And so meeting someone that is making my baby leap in a way that is never done so before, and connecting with someone that understood my ministry, respected my ministry, and came together in a way that I have sung that song a million times. I can't wait till you guys see it because it speaks to me. It's my testimony. I've sung that song a million times.
For Alabaster Box or
Grateful.
Grateful for Mercy. Yeah, that's gonna be cool.
Yeah, and please. To have the opportunity to minister it with you, your whole take on it was, it's such a beautiful dance. Mm-hmm. It was such a conversation because I respected the tone that was set and I said, okay, that's where we're going. Okay. And we're going there. And you were like, okay. And that's where we're going. We're making a left and we're making a left. And it was, I was amazed at what was happening as it was happening. So
I still haven't seen the video. Didn't John send a video or something? You should share that. I don't know. Is there like didn't people live or something like that?
Yes, we have some behind the scenes clips. I didn't want to share it before it was shared.
That's behind the scenes. That's different. Share that.
Nothing but a word.
Who knows when the real video will come out? Because
we got the viral anointing on today.
Put the viral on it. Let's go. Yeah, put the viral on it.
We're gonna share it today.
Tag me because you don't forget. I'll forget.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I'll tag you in it. So let me get back on task because the interview. Listen, we off book, we off task. We wrapping up. We bringing the horse home. So before we go,
sure.
I don't know. I am just a ball of tears when I get to talking about my story. Hold on one second. Let me get this. Okay. All right. Tears are straight. Okay. Listen, I need a minute. Hold on. I need a minute. We are going to do a quick commercial break. Don't even get up. We're going to do a quick commercial break and we're going to be right back. You guys stay tuned. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, family, and we are back. I'm good. I've had my good ugly cry, and I'm back. All right? I'm telling you, I told you at the start of the show to get your snacks, because I just knew, I just felt this was going to be one of those sister side chats that was just going to break off into something that we just don't plan. It just happens. You can't just create this. It just happens. It's just organic. When God steps in the room and you allow him to do what he came to do, it's a whole shift. It's a whole mood. So we just gonna continue riding. Y'all ready, Ryan? Let's ride. Okay, so take us back to the Black Church series and just give us a little more insight. Like you said, that was over 4 hours of history compiled into two-hour segments, right. Most of which we probably will never get to see because, I mean, you can only share so much. Right. But what did that mean to your inner circle? Like the folks that support you, that are on your team, that are Team Patrice, that have seen you matriculate through all of these amazing things and grow and blossom and pour into others. What does that mean to those people? Like all the feedback, I know you were getting texts from all over the world, but the core team, you know, sometimes they look at you differently when certain things happen. It's like, I can't really call you Patrice right now. You Dr. Turner all day.
My support system it keeps me grounded first and foremost. So that's my family. They keep me grounded. They are, you know, the first kind of, so there were a couple of things. One, I had a professor from Ohio State who emailed me from Germany. He's retired. He's over there now. And he was trying to figure out how he could see it because he had heard that I was going to be in this big landmark documentary, and he's a musicologist. And so he was on it. And so from that to my family, everybody, people who know me or had seen me or had connected with me in some way, one of the first things that would come out of their mouth would say, oh my gosh, your dad would be so proud of you right now that you are representing the Black Church in this way. He loved the Black Church, being a well-known pastor in his own right. They were just like, oh my gosh, your dad is probably shouting in glory right now because of the opportunity that you have to share your love for the Black Church and the music of the Black Church in this format. So that always brought a tear to my eye whenever I would read that, and I'm still reading through all of the messages. But my family, my support system, they've seen these kinds of things for me. So they're like, you're right in the moment, you're right in the place where you need to be, and you were in the right place at the right time. Pastor Warnock had been trying to get me to Ebenezer for years when I was even, he and I met in New York, and he had been trying to bring me down. The first time wanted to bring me down, I think Mrs. King died first. So the weekend that he was trying to bring me down, Mrs. Coretta Scott King died. So I couldn't come. And then the next time he was trying to bring me down, Yolanda King died. And I told him, I said, don't call me anymore because I'm killing off all the kings and you ain't got but only like three more. Don't call me anymore. Just don't call me. I don't care. I'm not coming. And so then the third time he called me and it didn't work out. We were trying to figure something out and it didn't work out. The fourth time he called me, I was like, it's not for me to come to this church. Why does this man keep calling me? But my predecessor, Dr. Tony McNeil, had just left and was getting ready to step away and go back into academia. And God said, go. And so I consulted with them for about a year, 2017. I did not want the job. I was clear that I wanted to stay in New York City. I did not want to move to Atlanta. No shade to Atlanta, but I just love New York. But God made it happen and God made it clear. And so with the Black Church and that connection with Pastor Warnock and all of that, it was just like there were a couple things that came full circle. One, as a child, I used to say, I'm going to be the minister of music at a large Black Baptist church somewhere. And on Sunday morning, they're going to do anthems and hymns and spirituals and traditional gospel and gospel all in the same service. And we're going to play and we're going to have a great band and we're going to have instruments. And that's what I was doing, you know, at 2017. Yeah, all in the same service. We would do, you know, like Omar Dickinson's The Glorious Medley. Then you would hear Handel's The Hallelujah Chorus from The Messiah. And then you would hear like maybe a song that Earl Bynum would have recorded. You would hear, you know, just all this different stuff. A Judith Christie McAllister song would open up worship and praise and worship. And then so all of this we did. And then you would have like this amazing organ prelude and postlude by Dr. David F. Oliver on the big pipe organ. Like you just in one service. And one service, and that's like every week. And so, yeah, so to me, that's the Black church. Like, if you want to say that's the pinnacle, some people refer to Ebenezer. Of course, our moniker is America's Freedom Church, but another name that has been tossed around is the Black Vatican. Well, if you want to call us the Black Vatican, that's what it looks like. There's a, you know, all of the sacred genres and sacred styles of music are represented. The preached word is going to be preached strong by Pastor Warnock. There's going to be a social justice element in it 9 times out of 10. Because that's part of the history of the church. It's in the church. And Pastor Warnock, of course, with all of his work as a public servant and also as a pastor, has always had that kind of a thread, even when he was in New York, when he was in Baltimore, now in Atlanta. So, you know, yeah, so I'm just in the right place at the right time. And Atlanta's growing on me. I really haven't had an opportunity to get to know Atlanta because as soon as I moved to Atlanta, I was then traveling all over the world and I came back and I hit the ground running. So Ebenezer keeps me super, super busy. But yeah, the Black Church, like I said, the PBS series, The Black Church is amazing. If you have not seen it, check it out on YouTube, Amazon Prime on PBS. The book you can get from Amazon. Here it is. It's amazing. It's an amazing text. There's a section in it about Black preachers in particular. And of course, there are going to be critiques, right? So the documentary is 4 hours long, but it can't talk about everything. So this is it's a starting point. It's a catalyst for people to start talking about different things. And then I admonish all other filmmakers, people who love the Black church. If you didn't see something represented or a story that needed to be told in more detail, take it upon yourself to, you know, do the research. Because Dr. Gates is a researcher, he's a scholar, and he's one of our premier scholars, not as a Black scholar, but as a scholar, period. Right. Do your research, get it right, check your sources, and then put it out there. Put it out there for people to see, because people are thirsting for this knowledge. They want to know about us. We need to know about us. We need to pass it on to our generations, because how can you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been? And so you just have to kind of keep sharing it and... So that's it in a nutshell. I keep saying a lot. Sorry about that. But that's really what it in a nutshell is, just sharing. And I have a passion for the Black church. So I'm grateful that God has allowed me to minister in the Black church, but not just there. I've been able to minister in other churches as well, and nationally and internationally. So we just share what God has given us.
Amazing. Which brings us wonderfully right into our next point. So I know that you all are wondering, how can I hear the Dr. Patrice E. Turner? I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. She has an EP. Yes, she does. And it is called Introducing Patrice E. Turner. And you can find it on all digital music outlets. You owe it to yourself today, ma'am and sir. While you're watching the show, you can go right now. Your phone, that's why we pay $1,000 for them. They do multiple things. You can go right there, right now, and purchase her EP while you're watching the show. Don't wait till the show is over because you're getting free. There it is. Bam.
Yes, hi. Yes.
And
I mean,
I'm going to post it for you.
Crazy. Like I put it together in 2 days. I had wanted to go into the studio for a long time. Yeah, I know. I wanted to go into the studio for a long time. But my schedule is with school and with work and at FCBC at the time I was in New York. And then my father passed away. And as I shared, we were going to Sweden. And one of my friends told me, he said, "Look, sis, you cannot go to Europe without product. You got to go with product." I was like, "What are you talking about? Get in the studio, go get yourself a CD." He was like, "You don't have to, it doesn't have to be 20 songs, like do 5 songs. He's like, just get something, you know, 5 songs, do something really quick, go into the studio." And literally God was on it. I wanted to have somebody else to produce my first project. God was like, no, you're going to do it. So I was the executive producer. I bankrolled it myself. And then I produced it myself and didn't know what I was doing in terms of production, but I had reached out to three brothers. I had reached out to Ulysses Owens Jr., who's an amazing jazz musician and educator. I had reached out to Roy Cotton. I had spoken with him. And then I had reached out to Trent Phillips, who's an amazing artist and musician in Atlanta. All three of them had given me nuggets for free. They were just like, Patrice, just go. They're like, you got it. You know what to do. Just go. And so I went into the studio. And when I say it took us about 48 hours total to put it together, a couple of days in the studio, with a few hours of mixing, of course, you know, Roderick was like, well, yeah, you could have spent some more time on mixing. But this is the thing. I literally went into the studio. I did some prep work like for about a week. And then I had these 2 days in the studio. Every musician that I wanted to work with said yes. By the time we recorded, I was writing them a check out of my checkbook saying, here you go. They were like, what are you doing? Like, people never pay us when we leave the studio. I was like, no, that's not how I roll. And I was like, and this check is not going to bounce. I said, trust and believe. You're going to get your money. So, like, that's how I operate. And I did not want that. I said, don't shortchange me. I said, what would you charge somebody else? And they're like, but Patrice, I would do it for you for this. I said, what would you charge somebody else? And I paid them what they were worth because they were going out of their way to work with me to do this. And, you know, the guys that were like, well, I hear this. Can we add this? And can we do this? I was like, yeah, let's go. And we just had a ball recording. It was the easiest thing I'd ever done. I love the studio. We had a marvelous time. And I designed the cover myself, designed the back myself, had to like put it all together because I was leaving for Sweden in like a couple of days. And then the big snowstorm hit New York. And so my product was delayed and then literally it arrived. My mother flew in, her plane was delayed a day. The product flew in like the same day that she got there. She had to be there to receive it. And we literally took 1,000 CDs because we didn't know how to break it up. We took like 1,000 CDs to Europe. And I sold in the first night.
Dr. Turner.
Let's see what's happening. Awesome. Yeah. So I paid the musicians off, paid them what they were worth to me. I wish I could have paid them more, but it felt great. I felt like a boss, you know, like Beyonce, like Oprah. It was like, bam, bam, here's your check. Here's your check. And literally that, right. Then the blizzard hit right when that project was supposed to be coming toward us. So we were supposed to be leaving like on January the 29th, flying over there. The blizzard hit New York. My mother was supposed to be flying in. Her flight was delayed by a day because they had shut LaGuardia down. So she lands and then the CDs come in. We take 1,000 CDs to Sweden. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how many CDs I needed, but I had plenty of CDs, but I wound up selling out more CDs than they told me to bring. They had told me to bring one amount, maybe like 60. I think the first night I sold 100 within about 15 minutes or so. It was just really crazy right after the concert. And so
they show love. I'm telling you. If you say your CD is no shade, I love you, United States. I do. But when you're done and you have poured out and you say that your CDs are $10 and these people look at you like, I really want to get one. Do you take cash app? Can I write your check? When we were in Italy, we couldn't get off the stage.
Yep.
They were throwing the money at us and grabbing the CDs.
Yep.
And so I totally understand just from watching how Mahalia Jackson was received abroad, where, you know, you would think that they were very reserved because they don't talk to the screen like we do. Like they don't interact or interject until you are completely done. And I mean, you have sung your entire face off. You have hit every key on the piano and it is pristinely quiet.
Right.
And when you are done after that dramatic pause of, and scene, the room erupts.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a totally different vibe. I mean, I went to, not to brag, but God opened doors for us to go to Mexico, Brazil, and Chile with Professor Gregory Hawkins out of Harlem. And we went, and every night I received a standing ovation. And I was like, I know these people don't know what I'm singing about. I know they don't know what I'm saying. But every night, I was the only singer on that tour to get a standing ovation with all of the concerts. And again, I'm not saying that to pump myself up, but there's something about the anointing and about God using us in a way to talk about God and to talk about God's love, about God's grace, and the people understand it, regardless of if they understand English or not. And so that's why it's so important for me to just remain humble, to stay cool, to still be myself and have fun. I'm not a jokester, but I love to laugh. I love to eat well. I love just be around people and just having that kind of a personality. And then also I love to learn from others. So there are times when I need to be quiet so that I can, especially when I'm traveling internationally, what can I learn from this culture? What can I learn from being in this position, in this situation? When we were in Italy, we met mayors, we met leaders. When I was in South Africa and Zimbabwe, I met kings, and it was like crazy. Like we just, so you always take the opportunities that God gives you, not just to do what you've been called to do, but also to learn from others and to respect the culture that you're being, that you're enjoying, and that's welcoming you, and that's honoring you and hosting you. So the CD came, and they bought it and ate it up. People are still buying it. It's available on all digital platforms. You can get hard copies from me if you want signed hard copies. I do send those. I don't know when I will be back in the studio again. Right after the Black Church came out, people were like, you need to put out Steal Away as a song. Like, you need to record it. Just go sit down and record. I'm like, it's not that easy. And I've got other projects I'm working on that I can't tell people about, but I'm like, I got that going on, and I've got school. I've got Ebenezer. I've got all this stuff. It's just a lot.
And so the deluxe edition, because you're going to have to add about 5 more tracks to that EP, make a whole album. Yeah. And then you're going to have to drop a video, really simple. And, you know, the KBCN Media family, we have our own production crew. We will come to you because your schedule is busy. We will come right to the church, film you right in that sanctuary. Lovely, wonderful on that video and release it.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, the City Called Heaven is that I call it the hot track. That's the banger on the project. Jesus Loves Me is the just me and the piano. That's like what people say, that's the real Patrice, where you just get me in a piano in a room and we just go at it. My dad is on the project, the last track on the song. So when people heard the CD, they didn't know I put my dad on there. It's not a regret, but I never got an opportunity to have my dad come into the studio before he passed away, but he would sing. And so he's on there. So people love that. There's something on there for everybody. The very first song I wrote after my dad passed is on there. It's called What Love. It's amazing, very heartfelt and introspective. I can do all things, which is one of my favorite scriptures, Philippians 4:13. It's kind of a bluesy, puts you in the mind of like singing in the Birdland or in one of the jazz clubs in Harlem, like Lenox Lounge or Showman's or something like that, or Minton's. Yeah. So it's real smooth. And I go pretty hard on that. And and like when I cut the project, I don't like to tell people this, but when I cut stuff, I've ever since I was 3, I've always practiced. It's not practice makes perfect, because practice makes permanent. So if you practice it incorrectly, it's going to be permanent, but perfect practice makes perfect. So I try to practice things and do different things. Every time I'm singing something, I do it differently. So that when I went into the studio, every cut that I did, every track I did, it was one take. There was like no other vocal cut. There was nothing. It was like, this is it. And I would hear something like, I want to go in there and do it again. They were like, no, don't touch it. No, Patrice, that was perfect. So you know, that's just how we operate and we roll. And that's why it's so great to be at a place like Ebenezer, because we have such great musicians in our band, such great choir directors, instrumental ensemble directors. We have like 5 choirs. We have three ensembles for our children: a children's choir, youth choir, children and youth instrumental ensemble. We have an adult instrumental ensemble, dance and drama ministry. I'm sorry, a dance and mind ministry, a drama ministry. We have the deaf ministry. I'm over the ushers ministries. I'm over the sound ministry, the worship planning team. I co-produce our worship broadcast every week since we've gone online now. I'm kind of a producer of a worship show every Sunday. It's a lot. It's a lot. We had a big recording session yesterday. I'm like, I'm tired. And then we lost an hour. I'm like, I'm ready to go to bed. And I had half a cup of coffee. I got another half a cup of coffee. I'm going to drink that today because I got some other stuff I got to do. But you know, being at Ebenezer is a fulfillment of a dream. To bring it back to Pastor Warnock, I would not have done the Black Church series without Pastor Warnock giving the okay and dropping my name to Dr. Skip Gates. Would not have happened. Two things. One, had I not spoken it into existence. That I wanted to meet him. And then two, that pastor had not believed enough in me. And that's why, so I love to mentor. My dissertation is on mentoring and gospel music pedagogy. And I love to mentor, and I've been mentored by a lot of the best, right? Mm-hmm. Just be who you are, but always be gracious and always remember that you represent God and your family, because you never know who's going to open a door for you. And I know I've burned some bridges. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect or anything. There are things that I've learned from that. People have opened doors even beyond that. Some bridges needed to be burned. Some people I needed to cut out. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise Come on. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Did you get
that? Not everybody's supposed to go with you on the elevator up. But I praise God for the relationship with Pastor Warnock. He is my pastor. He is, and he has been supportive of me in ministry as a woman, not just as a woman, but as
a lot.
Works at his church and in his ministry. And so for him to drop my name like that, I would have never had that opportunity had I not been in the position where I was, and had I not had a good relationship with the pastor, because he could have been like, oh yeah, I have a director of worship in the arts, but that's not who you want. You know, let me give you somebody else. He could have said it somebody else's name. And then I was able, right. And I was just able to kind of share and talk about what I love, Black music, spirituals, gospel, and then to play it on a piano, like with Dr. Dwight Andrews and Dr. Gates, and like just talk and have fun. Like, who does that? Like, who gets to do that with their life? And then now, I mean, I can say I have a senator on speed dial.
Somebody.
He got a senator on speed dial. Who does that?
What you just said was so loaded. I had to control myself.
Yeah.
Because I was just going to break out with exactly support from your leader, your visionary, your set man or woman of God is so vital.
Yeah.
The relationship between the worship leader and the pastor is such an important marriage.
Yes.
Because the music ministry controls the whole flow of worship for the service.
Yeah,
worship. We are the Levites. We go first.
That's right.
We break up the fallow ground, so we get attacked on the front line. So it's just a lot. I used to tell, when I served as minister of music, director of music and arts at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Virginia, I would tell my music ministry, listen, if you just want to be a choir member, be an usher or something. Because this is not for the faint of heart. This is frontline ministry. You're going to be attacked.
Yep.
Okay. All right. There's going to be all kinds of drama that the enemy tries to send to take us off our focus because of what we do. We are vital to the word of God, making it through the speaker into the hearts of these people that have pressed their way out today. This is not the lane that I intended to go down, but we're here.
That's
so
it.
Tell them, you know, if you just want to sing in a number two choir, or you just want to sing songs you like, or you just want to sing songs that you know, because I don't know what I'm talking about. Let me pull out my resume and remind myself of who I am, because I don't know what I'm talking about. If you just want to sing songs that don't minister, then this isn't where you want to be, because this is a frontline position. And I take it very seriously that God has entrusted me to usher his presence in so that the word can fall on good ground.
Right.
I'm sorry, and I'm done.
No, but that's it. That's what a lot of people, and that's why the music ministry gets so attacked. Like, people that when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven with a third of angels, he dropped right down into the choir loft. And one, he was the chief musician. He was beautiful. Music emanated from his body, and everybody, you know, so people came and they were attracted to him. And that's the same way with the music ministry. The music ministry is always out front. People who can't sing want to be a part. And I get it. And I go back and forth. I go back and forth with, should it be an audition thing? Should it be spiritual gift led? You know, all of that. And I think there are places for everyone. There are people who have the heart but don't necessarily have the gift. So you want them because they're dedicated and they're going to be those prayer warriors. They're going to be the people who are going to know their music. They're going to come in and do their best. So you want that energy. But then you also need the people who can really sing, who know to be on mic, because they're gifted for that. But then you don't want the people who want to be seen because they're trying to, you know, get be on Star Search, or, well, that's not Star Search now, what's now The Voice or American Idol or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, but you try to marry all of that. And the whole point is you want to make that audience of one, that God, your audience of one, and make that those who are flies on the wall, who are in the room, in the corporate worship experience, or the collective, as I could say, the collective worship experience with everyone else, you're making it so that the pastor can just get up and preach. And sometimes the worship is so high, especially with my dad. I mean, my dad would be like, "Low, yo, the worship is so high. I'm gonna save my sermon for next week." Or he'll be like, "Okay, these were the 3 points I was gonna give you, but there you go." Or he might say, "God has already spoken. Let's take up this offering and go."
They don't do it anymore.
Yeah, and so I'm grateful, and I will say this till I die. I'm grateful for being the pastor, the daughter of a pastor, of the Reverend Dr. G. Thomas Turner Sr. I will never forget that my last name is Turner and that my father has taught me everything that I know. And I'm grateful for the time I had at the First Corinthian Baptist Church in Harlem, New York, under the leadership of the senior pastor, Reverend Michael A. Warren Jr., who's a bad brother. If you've never heard him preach, he's amazing. I've learned a lot under him, both spiritually and just from a ministry standpoint. And then to now be at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, with Reverend Dr. Raphael G. Warnock, learning a lot from him, both now, you know, not just as a pastor, but even seeing how he operates as a public servant is inspiring. And he's breaking down walls in that area as well. And so, you know, I'm just grateful. Not everyone has had that opportunity. And again, as a woman, it's rare to see women like myself in leadership positions as director of worship in the arts, but I'm not going to be the last one. There are young people coming behind me. And there are young people who are coming along with me. And so, you know, I reach out to them. I'm like, "Hey, I don't know how to do this. Or I know that there's an app out here that can do such and such and such and such." And they'll be like, "Doc, got you." Or, "Doc, I don't know, but we're going to find it out." Or, you know, "Doc, you need to download this. Get this. You know, and so, and then I'm that way with some of my older mentors. So I'm just grateful for my support system, grateful for you, for this opportunity. I look forward to what God has in store for both of us. There's still a lot more that we have to do. That's why we're still here on this earth. And so we're just going to keep it moving.
Listen, yes, you have blessed us tremendously.
Thank you. And I
know that my viewers are off the rails right now, because one thing I must do, I can't be fake. I can only be my true authentic self, and I got to keep it real. And they know if I'm giving you tears, it's not because I stubbed my toe. It is because my spirit is moved and my heart is just full. And this interview, and we launched in November, and I've had some amazing guests, Earl being one of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had Bishop Cortez Vaughn, we've had Sheila Bell, we've had Carol Riddick. I mean, we've had Don B. Welch, Hollywood producer, director, and film person. We've had some amazing people, but that's all I can say. I have no words for this. And for me to have no words is... That's enough. It's just life changing. I'm just telling you, I'm sitting here, even though I'm part of the day, I'm sitting here as if I'm a viewer, because that is how rich this conversation has been to me. And so I just want to take this opportunity to thank you once again. I know your team is waiting to whisk you off to the airport somewhere. Because you had to fly and sing in Budapest or Turkey or somewhere. And so we are not going to hold you any longer. I just want to share with our viewers one more time where they can find all things Dr. Patrice Turner. I believe all of her social media handles are Patrice E. Turner, at Patrice E. Turner. So that's Facebook, that's Twitter, that's Instagram. And you can definitely find her EP, Introducing Patrice E. Turner. Do not forget the E, or you won't find it.
Don't forget it. The E is important.
Don't forget it. The E is for excellence. Come on.
Elizabeth, that's my middle name. So
Elizabeth, oh my God, and I said you made my baby leap. I can't take it.
That whole scripture is like all my life. I was named after her. I have great grandmother on my father's side and on my mother's side who are both named Elizabeth. I'm named after them. Like that whole John story. Oh yeah. No, that's all my life. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a whole other interview just in that.
That's a whole.
You know how they say that on TV? Yeah, that's how Oprah was saying.
Yeah, that's a whole other interview. If you guys thought the sit down with Meghan and Harry was something,
it was good. Go
back and watch the replay. Dr. Kenner, we love you from a sincere place. I thank God for you. I thank God for the anointing on your life to speak life into others. I thank you for awakening dreams. I thank you for connectivity in the spirit of all things creative. I thank you for the doors that you've spoken to in the lives of myself and others that are watching, for the windows that you've raised in the heavenlies, for the blessings to come and just begin to pour into the lives of those that choose to believe and take hold of what you shared with us today. I pray God's richest blessings upon you. May supernatural wealth and divine health be your portion. May your tents be enlarged. Come on, may your pockets be full and your covers never be bare. May your voice soar to heights that you've never seen. May you minister to souls that you never imagined. I see you in stadiums. Come on, I see those that are speaking in other languages in stadiums that are waiting for miles to hear the message and the breath of God that you bring in your ministry. I am so blessed to have connected with you, and I so look forward to all that God has in store for you. We love you. Be blessed.
Thank
you. Definitely talk to you soon.
Yes.
Peace and blessings.
Bye.
Woo! You guys, here. I'm going. I'm done. I know I close out the show and give y'all all these wonderful little... I'm done. I've used all my tissues for today. So we're just going to break protocol right up all in through here. And I'm going to say, if you haven't, I am going to be very diligent about posting this journey, because this is a whole new journey for me. So I'm going to be very diligent about keeping you guys in the loop. If you haven't followed me on Instagram yet, why not? Come on. Follow your girl, Tamika Patton Music on Instagram, Tamika Patton Music on Facebook, Tamika Patton on Twitter, and take a quick moment and subscribe to my YouTube channel so that you can catch all of the replays of Sign, Talent, and Treasure when you miss it. All right, tell all of your friends to tune in to kbcntv.com at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays to watch us live, and or you can go right to my website, www.tamikapattonmusic.com. And stay tuned, because we do have some new music coming your way. I don't have time to talk about it today. Yep, you're going to have to wait until next week. So if you were not blessed today, shame on you. Make sure that you go purchase that EP by Dr. Patrice E. Turner. And as always, treasure and cherish the time that you have been allotted here on earth. And please, ma'am and sir, utilize each and every talent that the Lord has blessed you with. And remember, your treasure is where your heart lies. Until next time, be blessed.